Let us commence this morning's service by singing together hymn number 350. Hymn 350 to the tune Pilgrim 819. Ye pilgrims of Zion, and chosen of God, whose spirits are filled with dismay, since ye have eternal redemption through blood, ye cannot but hold on your way. Hymn 350, tune Pilgrim 819.
Oh.
Let us read together from God's holy word, from the Gospel according to Luke, and the 15th chapter. Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And they said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May the Lord apply his word to us. Help us to pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, help us to tenderly come before thee, blessing thee, dear Lord, for thy precious word. May we each be those prodigal sons, having our eyes opened to see that in our Father's house is meat, to have that hunger in our souls and that determination to attend thy house, that we might feed there. And oh dear Lord, the solemnity whilst in heaven. There is rejoicing, even amongst the angels, over one sinner that repenteth. There we have that one angry and would not come in. Oh, keep us, dear Lord, from any Pharisaical spirit. Lord, keep us from pointing the finger at the sins of others. Help us to humbly confess our own sins and plead, dear Lord, that thou wouldst put them away. Plead with thee that thou wouldst purge us and make us clean. Sweetly confirm to us that thy spilt blood, dear Lord, those agonies in Gethsemane, in the garden, that shame that thou didst bear in being brought to the crucifixion. Lord, all thy sufferings, the crown of thorns, the lashings on thy back, the spitting on thy face, being made to carry thy cross. Oh, dear Lord, and the crucifixion, that thy sufferings, Lord, and thy perfect life lived in fulfillment of the holy law, that it was all for us. Thy resurrection, and now thy intercession as a mediator on the right hand of God. Oh, that it was for us, Lord, for me, each one personally. Lord, what true words thou receivest, sinners, and eatest with them. O Lord, help us each to come, confessing, even as that one truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Though we might feel to be a dog, an outcast, a sinner, an unworthy one, yet to eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, feed us this day, Lord. Here we are, dear Lord, a very small gathering of sinners. Feed us, dear Lord. Break the bread to us, Lord. Oh, pour in that wine and oil into our wounds, Lord. Help us to rejoice in thee. And dear Lord, may there even this day be that joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And so may we prove, dear Lord, that thou hast chosen the hymns, that thou hast chosen the reading, that thou hast chosen the sermon, and that thou hast guided us even in our prayers, and that it is all of God, and that all the honour and the glory is unto thee. O Lord, that our worship might be God-given, that there might be that God-given hunger in our souls as we come up to the house of the Lord. And not just then, dear Lord, but that hunger in our souls causing us to enter into our closets to pray, causing us, Lord, within our breast, even whilst working, to pray. Lord, when we are under the eye of others, yet they cannot see, our soul up unto thee. May there be that prayer which is a soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a burning fire that burns within the breast, thy Holy Spirit's work. Lord, we pray for it. O dear Lord, do please then come. Come, Lord, receive sinners and eat with them. And oh, may we know that gospel invitation. Come and dine. Oh Lord, please help us then this day. And Lord, be with, dear Lord, those that are sick or infirm. Thou knowest the case of each, we know not. Lord, I be with our sister Beryl worshipping at home. Her brother Bernard as he preaches at Swaversea, God willing. Lord, help each one. And those others that listen in, Lord, that we know not, but thou knowest, and thine eyes upon them. Lord, oh what a mercy thy omnipotent, omnipresent eye is upon us each. Thou knowest the thoughts of our heart. Lord, there is nothing hidden from thee. And Lord, we can breathe up those prayers in our breasts that cannot be uttered audibly in public. And thou hearest them. Thou knowest what we have need of before we ask thee, Lord. And thou knowest that which is thy good pleasure to grant to us, Lord. And so may we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. O dear Lord, help us to walk this path rightly and put away our transgressions from us. Lord, sweetly bless us, undeserving though we are. Help us to bless in return. Please be with thy servant coming up amongst us this evening hour. Give him that word to speak. Give us those hearts to receive it, Lord. Unstop deaf ears, Lord. Quicken souls. So please, dear Lord, work in our midst. And then, dear Lord, our little group of churches which is brought so low. Lord, may we mourn over those sins that drove thee from our breast as a people, as a group of churches. Thy hand, dear Lord, has gone out against us. Thou hast a controversy with us. Graciously make it known and help us, dear Lord, to put it away. Lord, help us to worship thee with the whole heart. Lord, please help us to do thy holy will and do come and bless us, Lord. Cause there to be a turning again and an entering into thy court. The filling of the pews, Lord, the building of new chapels. For thou art able, Lord, if it please thee, to do these great things for us. And Lord, those that are in power over us, we are exhorted to pray for. Yet thou knowest we know not how to pray for them as we ought. But we do pray that thou wouldest manage them, Lord. That thou wouldest turn their hearts and their minds whithersoever thou wouldest, Lord. That thou wouldest give wisdom to act rightly in all matters, Lord. Give them wisdom that right decisions might be made. And there might be courage given to do that which is right in thy sight. Thou knowest those huge decisions we might say regarding the conflict in Israel, with Gaza, the conflict between Russia, Ukraine. Lord, thou knowest, yet thou canst cause right decisions to be made, and thou canst bring about a right end of all these matters. Oh, may we turn to thee to do these great things for us. So please help our leaders. Lord, may it even be that through these things there may be a turning of the Jewish people unto thee. Our Lord, we know not, but we do believe in accordance with thy word there will be that opening of their eyes. O Lord, come quickly, we pray. Do these great things to the honour and glory of thy precious name. And now, Lord, thou knowest what has been given one to bring this day. May we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, and may it do souls good, dear Lord. So we pray, help us to hold on our way, looking to thee, the source of every blessing. My help, my God. Lord, may we say it. Oh Lord, undertake for us. Please forgive all that we are. All we ask amiss, make up in giving where we fail in asking, Lord. Forgive us our trespasses, our iniquities. Put them away, Lord. Bless us freely, undeserving though we are. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. The notices for the opening week are, God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Timothy Kingham is engaged to preach during the evening service and has helped. There will be a read address during the prayer meeting, read sermon during the morning service. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach, and this evening, Mr. James Burgess. The collection and donations received for the month total in the general fund, £660, and in the benevolent fund, £17. We do desire to thank the friends for their willing giving and acknowledge the Lord's mercies toward us. May we now be held to sing hymn 804, Jim Willingdon, 815. Hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume, remember one thing, O may it sink deep. Our shepherd and king cares much for his sheep. To trust him endeavour, the work is his own. He makes the believer and gives him his crown. We will omit verses 4, 5 and 6. And so we sing the first three verses and the last. Hymn 804, June Willingdon, 815.
Thank you.
as helped, I will read notes of a sermon given by the Reverend Welland at Jara Chapel, Lewis, in 1894. The text you will find in the chapter that we read, Luke chapter 15, and the 18th and 19th verses. Luke 15, verses 18-19. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Luke 15, verses 18-19. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. We would like, in the first place, to make a few preliminary remarks as an outline of this subject, the prodigal son. Secondly, we will notice his determination. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. Thirdly, we will note his confession. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Lastly, his reception. We might well wonder that the Father received him so cordially and with so much affection. But he was his son. And this fact, I apprehend, led the Father to receive him as he did, and to welcome him home. I dare say if your son would turn and confess his wrong, you would receive him and forgive him, would you not? And especially if he confessed his sin, as it is said this man did. But what we may consider was the Saviour's object in speaking this parable. And who are they that are mentioned here? The younger and elder sons. I am aware that some have said that they set forth the Jewish and Gentile churches. Well, perhaps they do. But I cannot but conceive that there is something beyond that. Because at the beginning of the chapter, it is said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Our Lord was often found in the company of such. And because of his amiability and humility, they often resorted unto him. Of course, they had no one else to go to. The scribes and the Pharisees had cast them off entirely. But Jesus Christ was often in their society. One may feel cast off now by all, But Jesus has said, I will in no wise cast out. Then these publicans and sinners came to hear him. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He then first spake the parable of the lost sheep, as recorded also in Matthew. Then about the woman that had lost her piece of silver, and thirdly, this parable of the prodigal son. Now it appears to me that our Lord would set forth these two classes of persons that were before him then. The publicans and sinners, who came purposely to hear him, and the scribes and Pharisees, who came to murmur at him. There is a very great difference between these two classes. The scribes and Pharisees, I believe, are set forth by this citizen to whom this young man went and joined himself. The young man mentioned here, I apprehend, shows that although these publicans and sinners had wandered far from God, yet if they returned, the Lord was ready to receive them. And that bad as they were, and they confessed it too, the Lord would receive them. It may be asked, how is this? Because the father said to the elder son when he was angry and would not go in, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now if you know the Lord had given these people, now you know that the Lord has given these people very great privileges. He had given them teachers after his own heart. He had given them his law, but they had despised all of it. He had given them his gospel, but they had rejected it. So that with great propriety it might be said of these scribes and Pharisees, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You have supposed that you have kept my law, that you have done that which is right. And now you have turned against these publicans and sinners because they have been so bad. And you have thought yourselves so good and holy. But as the father received this prodigal son, but stayed away from him as long as he could, so I receive these publicans and sinners when they return to me. So those that heard it must have noticed that our Lord was illustrating and setting forth these two classes of people. It is hard to be a publican and sinner spoken. It is bad to be a publican and sinner spoken of here as of the most injurious kind, but it seems to be worse to be a Pharisee, who perhaps lived uprightly outwardly, but did many things to oppress the poor, and things wrong in the sight of God secretly. So if we have wandered far from God, yet if we seek his face, he will receive us. Why? These Pharisees and scribes should murmur, I do not know, when they said, this man, representing the Saviour, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, what a crime! Do you think a Pharisee would do it? Certainly not. He would not be seen in the society of such characters as they, but the Son of God the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, entirely lost, and lost forever if Christ had not come from heaven to seek and save such. Now I feel encouraged by such scriptures, do not you? Then we find that whether we are Pharisees or not, if we think we are far from God or not, we really are so, just as this prodigal who left his father's house till he had spent all his all in riotous living. That is our state. We're all there. Whether we think we're good or feel we're bad, we have all sinned against our God. Exception none can boast. Or if some do, it's a vain boast. So we find it is with us and with all men. It is no use for one man to think he's better than another. Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before concluded that all are under sin, under its power, and ready to obey it one way or another. But the departure of this man, we find it is said, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. What substance could he waste? He wasted all those powers which God had given him as a man. So have we. So that we have no power of ourselves to return to the Lord unless he brings us into a state of want and destitution. Do you ever feel your heart going out after God? Now, this question is so simple that I demand an answer within yourselves. Do you ever feel your heart going out to the Lord for mercy? If so, that is an evidence of divine life. Bless you. People nowadays grow up religious and never doubt. They think they are right. Father and mother are good people. They're brought up under the truth. My friend, there is a way to hell from the Jireh Chapel, as well as from the openly profane world. Do not rest or trust in that. And when he had spent all, God ordered it so. And it is the same with us when we feel we have spent all that God has given us. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Are you and I in want? Have we come here today wanting something? Are we saying, Lord Jesus, feed my soul? O Jesus, do speak some kind word to me today. Hast thy soul ever been in want? God's people are brought into this state of want, and it is an evidence of divine life. Now, how natural it was for this man in his distress, and it is natural for us too. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Here we have these scribes and Pharisees again. A citizen of that country, not a citizen of Zion. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He seemed to have had compassion on this poor, destitute young man. There is nothing more objectionable to Jews than feeding swine, because they were prohibited by the law of God from feeding or eating them. And this work must have been terrible labour to him. How often we find when a person is convinced of his ruin, he will join himself to a citizen of that country. He will sit under the ministry, not the ministry of truth. And he will be sent into the fields to lecture others, to preach. They do not know how to feed sheep. And so they get hold of the young who feel their need of mercy, telling them to feed that one, to take care of another, and prepare them for heaven. My friends, it is all a delusive doctrine. The man was a citizen of that far country, and not knowing any better himself, he sent him into the fields to feed swine. But after a time, having the life of God in his soul, he began to be in want. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The husks must have been poor fare for this young man, brought up so respectably. He tried to believe the doctrines. He tried to be satisfied with this man's teaching. But no man gave him enough to satisfy him. Just so, the living soul can be satisfied with nothing short of Christ. It does not matter what it is. Sad too was it not to send a person who had not been brought to know himself, to feed others, to tell others what they must do and be, and what duties God expected from them, and that if they did not do this, that, or the other, they would be lost. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is a much shorter way to comfort than all our exertions and all we can do ourselves. Only believe thy dying Lord, and all the work is done. He said within himself one day, and he was very hungry. His clothes were in a very dilapidated state, and I think very dirty too, if he had tried to feed swine. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough, not husks, and to spare? And I perish of hunger. And then secondly he came to this determination. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Come, fellow sinner, may God give us grace to arise from the sad state in which we have been living, to turn our back upon all the citizens of that country, all the false teachers, whoever they may be, who send us to do this, that, and the other. Now, the man thought of something better. I will arise and go to my father. What a happy thought that must have been. Have you and I been brought to this pass? Have we said, I will arise and go to my father? I cannot put up with this. I cannot endure this any longer. I have tried all the forms and ceremonies they have set me. I have preached to others all that they told me to preach, but I am hungry. I want something to eat. What a sweet mercy, my friend, when this feeling comes over us, that we want Christ. I'm sure I want him, and I'm sure some of you do. He said within himself, he did not tell his master. Perhaps it was not a very respectable way of leaving him, for he did not even give him notice. But they gave him nothing to eat, no spiritual food, nothing for his immortal soul. The Lord, give us grace to say, I will arise and go to my Father. What a wonder we dare call God our Father. But the Holy Spirit will teach us and help us in this matter. And we had better be tender about this than use the term lightly. Don't you remember what feelings you had about your state, perhaps when young, when you sought the Lord, and before you communicated them to anyone, you knew you loved your Father's house, you loved his provision. You desired to have more of it. The prodigal reasoned with himself, notwithstanding all his discouraging circumstances. My father gave me the portion of goods which fell to me. He was kind and generous, but I despised him and left him of my own free will, determined to have my own way. If you despise your father, especially a godly father, you may depend upon it there. You have troubles ahead into which you will plunge yourself. What a state I am in. Dare I go home in such a state as this? It was but a few years ago I left him. A young man brought up respectably. Everyone respected me because of my father. How dare I go home like this? Poor sinner. You have been thinking, dare I go to Christ? To Jesus Christ in the state I'm in? But there is that sweet invitation which has often cheered me. And I hope it will cheer you today. To sinners, great sinners, desperate sinners, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now that you are in want, now that you feel pained because of your sinful life, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, the Lord never tells us we have not sinned, nor makes it appear a lighter matter than it is. Though your sins be as scarlet, as you say they are, though they be like crimson, as you have thought, they shall be white as snow, if ye be willing and obedient. Ye shall eat the good of the land. Willing, you say? It's my heart's desire to get rid of my sins and troubles. And this young man said, I will arise. I will turn my back upon the professing world and upon false doctrines and errors. Some say a little error will not hurt as much, but if I were to offer you a loaf of bread with a little poison in it, you would refuse it and throw it from you. I will arise, wicked as I have been, poverty stricken as I am, with destitution everywhere about me. I will arise and go to my Father. Have you and I gone to our Father like this? There does not appear much to praise in human nature if this is all it can do for us. Methinks the Father heard the words, I will arise. Even before the Son started on his homeward journey, hear with what sympathy and love the Lord spoke to Ephraim. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. God heard the first real prayer, the first cry that sprang up in his soul, and accepted it. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. That first prayer that issued from thy breast, God heard and said, surely I heard him pray. I heard him bemoaning himself, and Ephraim said, surely after that I was turned, I repented, etc. Ephraim, he said, my dear son, the prefix is not in the original. My dear son, he only bemoaned himself, he only cried for mercy, but God said, he is my son, my dear son, a pleasant child. The Lord taketh mercy in them that fear him, in them that hope in his mercy. Since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. I will surely have mercy on him, saith the Lord. Oh, that you and I may be able to adopt this plan and go to God with, thirdly, this confession. Father, I have sinned against heaven. I confess my sin, my transgression, my wandering away from thee. He was conscious that God knew him as a sinner, that the Lord saw his wickedness. I know some have said that the word heaven here is applicable to the church of God, and perhaps it is so, for the church is often called the kingdom of heaven. But that as it may be, he said, I have sinned against heaven and against God. The holy angels saw me sinning. I have sinned against thy people, in that I have opposed them. What a confession. O fellow sinner, we have sinned against heaven, against the gracious God, against the loving Saviour, and the blessed Spirit. We have sinned against heaven's law, heaven's love, heaven's sympathy. We have had our way too long. May we have grace to say, I will arise and go to my Father. and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Oh, it's a solemn position. Then he acknowledged his unworthiness, and no more worthy to be called thy son. These words came to me the other evening while a friend was in prayer. Am no more worthy to be called thy son. And I have repeated them many times since. Every blessing we receive, we say, Lord, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy to be thought of by thee, not worthy of thy blessing. I'm not worthy to have any hope of heaven. Father, not only am I not worthy to be called thy son, but I feel I am unworthy to draw nigh unto thee, to worship thee, to think of thee, to receive any blessing from thy hand. I am not worthy. God makes his people feel that too. And the more the Lord blesses us, the greater, apparently, is our unworthiness. His blessing teaches us that it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it or with it. And if the Lord blesses us in a spiritual way, in a special way, the same feeling that the prodigal had is ours. I am not worthy of this, Lord. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of my life, not worthy of anything from thee. Unworthiness is ours. But oh, when brought home to glory, we will give Jesus all the praise and say, Thou, O Lord, art worthy to receive honour and blessing and glory and power for ever and ever. Jesus is worthy to receive honour and power divine and blessings more than we can give. Be Lord for ever thine. We are not worthy, still we go on in the journey of life towards the heavenly city. And whilst you were singing, the righteous shall hold on his way, we remembered that the prodigal held on his way. We do not read that he stopped until he arrived at his father's house. It has been said, I say so too, that this hymn is one of the best that Henry Fowler ever penned. It being beautifully expressive of the hopes, fears and joys of the believer. What astonishing grace that God has made of rebellious prodigals, his own sons and daughters manifestedly. Whether we can call God our Father or not, still he calls us his sons and daughters. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, what dignity has the Lord conferred upon us. Lastly, we find his reception. His father saw him. How the Father watched over us in the days of our unregeneracy. His eye was upon us all the way. We think, what a wonder, death did not take us at such a time, but the Father watched over us. He saw us when we were a great way off. He had compassion on us. He had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, oh, how he clung about his father. His heart almost broken with sobs and crying, Father, I have sinned. Yes, he had. And so have we. But the great Father's love, the Father's affection, how great, against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He did not say what he intended to say. make me as one of thy hired servants. For as it has been said, the father smothered him with kisses, and he could not say it. The father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Oh, what compassion this parable sets before us in his father's heart, and how great his love, how deep his sympathy. He is waiting for the return of all his prodigals. And oh, that some prodigal may have grace to return to his father's house today, and to make confession unto him as this young man did. We shall go on as long as we live, saying, I am not worthy to be called thy son. The enemy will sometimes suggest that it is all fanaticism, enthusiasm, and foolishness, but the Spirit beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And when we appear in yonder world of light and peace and glory and joy, methinks this will still be our theme. Father, I'm not worthy of this place. I'm not worthy of such a home. I'm not worthy of such a father. But we shall go on praising and giving glory and honour to him who alone is worthy, even to the Lord Jesus Christ, when standing before his throne, when standing near our Father God, as his own children adopted into his family, clothed with the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they began to be merry. Angels rejoice before the throne of God as one after another arrive there by the power of Christ. Still they renew their songs, and you and I will mingle our voice with theirs presently. It will not be long. We have not long to live. The time will come, soon come, when we shall appear before amongst them there to bless and praise him for ever and ever. Amen. The prodigal's return, the apostate bold and base, who long his father's counsel spurned, and long abused his grace. What treatment since he came, love tenderly expressed. What robe is brought to hide his shame, the best, the very best. Rich food the servants bring, sweet music charms his ears. See, what a beauteous costly ring the beggar's finger wears. Good God, are these thy ways? If rebels thus are freed and favoured with peculiar grace, grace must be free indeed. Let us conclude by singing together hymn 723. Hymn 723 to the tune Jerusalem Luminosa. 675. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing. Doubt no more. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to fill your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Hymn 723, tune Jerusalem Luminosa, 675. Desire in the sermon which we have read that even this day some returning prodigal might be found coming to confess before their Heavenly Father their unworthiness and yet prove thy mercy. Lord, prove thy love and being able to truly praise thee. Lord, do draw sinners unto thee, we plead, and get the honour and glory to thy precious name. Do, Lord, please be with us during the interval. Please help thy servant in coming up. Help us in coming up, Lord, that there might be a coming up to the house of the Lord. Ah, to hear what the Lord will say to our souls personally. Help us to worship, Lord, we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.